This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that taking a daily aspirin can actually reduce the risk of dying from colorectal cancer by 40%, lung cancer by 30%, and esophageal cancer by 58%? Do you also know that aspirin reduces the risk of Alzheimer's disease by 23% because it actually reduces the accumulation of plaque in the brain? Interesting way to start the show, isn't it? Hello, my name is Carol Reitberger. I'm a medical intuitive. I want to thank you for joining me today. And I decided that I was going to look for different over-the-counter or medications that we take throughout this year and really go in and look at them. And really, in the case of aspirin, I really wanted to know, is that little pill still a miracle pill the way that it's shown in research? And that's what I'm going to be covering today. I'm going to be talking about how a daily dose, a low dose of aspirin can significantly reduce the risk of heart disease, stroke, and even cancer, and why it's still, with all the research over the years that we've been encouraged to do a low dosage baby aspirin, that it is still at the top of the list of beneficial things that we can take specifically to reduce the effects of chronic inflammation. I work so much as a medical intuitive with people who don't like to take medication, and I certainly understand that because of a lot of my own approaches to the healing process. But as most of you know, that if you're listeners, you know that I'm not anti-medicine and I'm not anti-doctor. And so what I wanted to do is to bring forward information so you could be well informed on what is available to manage some of the things that can create potential life-threatening diseases. And number one on the list was this dosage, this baby, the aspirin, and looking at this low dosage. But, you know, I also, the way that I work is that I want to show you the positive and the benefit of things, but I also, in the case of aspirin and any medication that I'm going to be talking about throughout the year, I also want to be talking about those negative side effects of taking aspirin, because I believe, again, the best thing that we can do in order to be able to manage our health and to be able to maintain good health is to be knowledgeable about what's available. So some of the negative side effects, just very briefly, I'm going to go into a lot more detail, is that it actually increases the risk of stomach ulcers and then also facial swelling. It can also increase the risk of asthma. And I'm going to talk about the impact that aspirin can have on the development of cataracts and even macular degeneration. Then in the final segment of the show, I'm going to be offering some alternative suggestions that you can use that you can actually get the same or similar benefits of taking that daily low dosage of aspirin. Now, on top of all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, about today's topic, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canadian callers and also international callers. Just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I also wanted to let you know that I just posted my new reading schedule. So if you've been interested in getting a reading with me, or you'd like to know more about what a reading is and the type of information that I can be providing, that aura is such, is so rich with biological and biographical information, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Just put the cursor on the tab at the top of the home page that says readings, and then click on personal readings, and then you're going to learn about the kinds of information that I can share, how the reading works. I do record the readings in an MP3 format and then also the cost of readings. And you can even book the reading online. In fact, all of the readings are booked online. The readings are done over the telephone, and it's done on a first-come, first-served basis. Just the other day, I actually did a reading from Australia, and then I did one from New York, and then I did one from Southern California. So again, I really didn't, when I first started doing readings, I really believe that someone had to be sitting across from me because that was the way that I had become acclimated to using the ability to connect with the aura. I needed that visual connection. And I would break out my crayons and I would color what I would see. And then as with all forms of intuition, whether we're talking clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, or claircognizant, what we do is we recognize the more we use that intuition, the more it starts to express itself in different ways. So I really was, honestly, very skeptical when somebody told me in a reading that, Carol, you don't have to have people in front of you. Why don't you just reach out globally and do it via the telephone? It's like, I don't think so. And I was encouraged to do that. I opened up to it. And then as a result, now I do all of my readings over the phone. And it is as if someone is sitting right in front of me. So, again, you can book it online, and you just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, I want to talk a little bit about what an aspirin is. It's actually an analgesic and drug, and it's really used to relieve minor aches and pains, to reduce fever, also to relieve headaches and the constriction in the blood vessels associated with especially migraine headaches, and then the first and foremost thing that aspirin is used for is to reduce inflammation. It's also used to inhibit the production of thromboxane, which is what can cause the blood platelets to become so large that it actually causes the restriction or even the blockage of blood flow, as we get in the case of a clot when we're looking at stroke, and then also that restriction of blood flow that can also prevent the heart from getting the oxygen-rich blood that it needs that could ultimately end up in a heart attack. It's for this reason, specifically as the fact that aspirin is a blood thinner, that doctors commonly will prescribe an aspirin a day to prevent that heart attack or stroke, or will also prescribe it for people who have high cancer risk and who are susceptible for developing blood clots. You know, I went in, and I really, as I do on all of the things that I do in my Your Health webinars and looking at everything, I really want to get that holistic perspective. And I, as a research scientist, I love the research part of it. So I really started looking at a lot of the different studies that were associated with aspirin to see, is it still that miracle pill in that small package? And I kept coming up with just mounds and mounds of research that basically shows that there is great benefit for taking the small little pill. And what one research project showed, that low doses of aspirin given immediately after a heart attack actually reduces the risk of another heart attack or death of the cardiac tissue itself. I went in and looked and found another study that was focused on how aspirin can prevent stroke, and that found that aspirin, when combined with vitamin E, is actually a very anti-stroke powerful preventer of the effects of the stroke. It really, when you add the aspirin and you add the vitamin E, what you do is you actually increase that anti-stroke power significantly in what it's able to do. In fact, a study of 100 people who had suffered from many strokes, which are often the precursor for a major stroke, found that taking vitamin E daily, along with their low-dosage aspirin, produced a reduction of up to 80% of this anti-stroke ability compared to those who just took aspirin alone. So I dug even deeper, and I found that for women, studies have shown that taking a daily low dose of aspirin can actually decrease the risk of dying from a common form of breast cancer, that's the estrogen receptor positive form of breast cancer, up to 28%. And then for men, there was a Mayo Clinic study that found that men who took a daily dosage of aspirin were 25% less likely to develop moderate to severe symptoms of prostate enlargement. Now, the speculation of this particular study is that inflammation is what plays an integral role and a significant role in the enlargement of the prostate, and what aspirin does is it decreases the inflammation. Another interesting research study showed that aspirin can positively reduce the risk of heart attacks for angry people. This study of 1,623 people found that angry people, what we consider type A, but type A is that stressed part of personality, but when you add the stress and you add the anger associated with the stress, is that this study found that angry people were more than twice as likely to suffer from a heart attack within 2 hours after feeling angry than they were at other times. Interesting other statistics I found is that today aspirin is one of the most commonly and most widely used medications in the world, with an estimated 40,000 tons of it being consumed each year. And now Americans are taking 80 million aspirin tablets a day. Fascinating, isn't it? Another research study that I found, also I found that when you are dealing with bug bites or allergic reactions or stings and everything, you can actually crush an aspirin into a little fine granule. You can actually just rub it in that dry form onto that sting or bite area, and it will actually reduce the allergic reaction and the inflammation response, the inflammatory response to a sting and bite. Very interesting in how it all works. So what we've found is that, excuse me, in this process is that the research still shows that, yes, it really is like this little miracle pill, but it also has some negative side effects, as I just alluded to when I started out the show. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit more about those negative side effects, and then I'm going to talk about how, as a medical intuitive, I really see this anger that we hold as an emotion, excuse me, that we hold as an emotion in the muscles, and remember that the heart is a muscle. So I'm going to talk about that as well. But what I want to do is I want to go ahead. I do have a caller. I want to jump in. Is it Kaya?
Hi, Carol. It's Kaya.
Well, hi, sweetie. Long time no hear from you.
I know. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Well, thank you. How can I help you?
Well, you're talking about aspirin, and I have a pain in my head.
Okay.
So it seemed like a great time to call. I've talked to you in the past. I had an accident and had injuries and have recovered greatly, but I still have a pain in the occiput area of my head on the right-hand side, and I've tried a number of things. I'm not taking medication at this point, more alternative care. But sometimes when that flares up, and physical therapy and acupuncture, when that flares up, even my right ear hurts.
Yeah.
I get an earache. So I wondered if you could look into that area for me.
Oh, I can't. And so when I go in, what you are experiencing is you're experiencing the memory in the muscle of the accident and
okay.
the fact that it twisted your head and really caused it not only to twist and thump, but what it also did is it changed the alignment of the vertebrae itself. And when you get into a place, there's a couple things. When you get into a place where it feels to me that you get confused, you lack clarity. Let's say it that way because your aura is talking to me. You lack clarity. I keep getting the metaphor from your soul is that your head kind of spins. And what that's really saying is that you're looking at a lot of different things. You're trying to manage a lot of information. And what it does is it's part of that memory that was imprinted in the accident itself. So I'm going to take you back to the accident. Can you go back a week before you had the accident, sweetie?
Okay.
Can you remember where you were psychologically? Did you have a lot on your plate? Were you trying to juggle a lot of things?
I did. I had a lot on my plate and a lot of responsibility, and I was juggling a lot of things. And I had had two deaths within a week in my family, like 2 months prior. So it's off balance.
Exactly. And then, so it was kind of like, I'm just going to say it like it feels. It was like you were moving forward, but not keeping your eye on the ball. Like you were almost like looking behind, you know, kind of trying to figure out, are you picking up the loose ends along the way as you're moving forward? That's the metaphor that I pick up. Now, if I go in and I start connecting that metaphor, when you get these flare-ups, I'm going to find a connection.
Okay.
And one of the things that I also find a connection is that you have shared with, it feels like doctors and even physical therapists, you've shared that it feels like it has something to do with the muscles in the neck, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Are they listening to you?
Yes, some are. My physical therapist exactly thinks it's muscle memory from the accident, but we just have not been able to unlock that occiput area.
Okay. Okay, so now we've got someone that's in your camp that understands that. What this does is that in that process, those metaphors, that memory that's locked in there, is that there's, again, tension and trying to explain what's going on. It feels like, again, part of the pattern that I'm picking up in the memory and the muscle. Trying to explain what's going on and not being fully heard or feel like you're being fully heard. And then I'm going to go down, and here's where we're going to unlock the pain, is we're going to unlock it in vertebrae T4 and 5. And
yeah.
What that is that's in that mid-back area, but it's the upper mid-back area. That's where the memory is. It's that sense that maybe it was something that you thought to yourself, or you even said, wow, I didn't even see that coming. You know, I should have been paying more attention. But it's tied to personal power. It's tied to your ability to feel like you can move forward. Whenever you get into a place where you get stressed, my love, the self-talk comes in, and what it does is I coulda, shoulda, woulda. And
yeah,
that coulda, shoulda, woulda is what's tied up in thoracic vertebrae 4 and 5.
Okay.
When you get into that place and you start finding yourself either thinking, well, I should do this, or I could do this, or, you know, why am I not doing this when I would do this? Those are the things. And what I want you to do is I want you to go in. I want you to visualize the muscles in the thoracic vertebrae in T4 and 5. And I want you to watch those, feel those muscles liquefying. I want you to see them like a hard pat of butter that starts to melt. What that's going to do, it's going to take the pressure off of the cranial nerve, the vagus nerve. It's going to take the pressure off of the jaw. It's going to take the pressure off of the muscles. And it's going to take the pressure of that pressure from the jaw and the neck muscles on the vertebrae. And it's going to relax that to the point where it will take the pressure off of the occiput area and the ear area.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So, and then the other thing is when it does get into a flare-up state, while it feels to me that you are managing the inflammation all the time, either through supplements or your diet, when it gets to that place, and there's a couple things that you can do. One is that you could put an ice pack on it, and ice actually asks the brain to release an endorphin that is the natural equivalent of 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen.
Okay.
And what it does is that endorphin goes in and it finds where that pain message is being sent, and it actually causes the muscles in that area to relax. That takes the pressure off of the nerves, and then that can help. And then the other thing is, if it gets to a place where it just feels like your head gets kind of in a vice or pushed in on one side, then what you might want to do is look at, you know, taking a baby aspirin, a low dosage.
Okay.
One of the things, sweetie, you're so sensitive, and I'm going to talk about this also when we're looking at some of the negative side effects, is that taking aspirin on a daily basis for when I touch you does not feel like a benefit for you to manage this. And I think it has to do with your sensitivity. You can use it on a here and now basis when you need it, when it gets to the place where nothing seems to help, and that
okay.
will help with the pain and the inflammation. But it does not feel like it's something that with aspirin, even the low dosage, that you should be taking on a daily basis, because you feel very sensitive and maybe even aspirin resistant. So
okay.
and what that what that means is that just use it when you need it, use it sparingly, and then get off of it, and then your body will relax and you can do what you're looking to do. There is no damage in that, the skeletal structure in that area at all. It was interesting because as I was talking to you, I was going in and kind of looking and connecting the dots. You know how that's how I work. And one of the things I need to say to you, are you experiencing eye fatigue at all?
Yes.
Okay. Your left eye muscle, it's like the left side of the trapezius muscle, and the muscles up in the face around the left eye get really tired. And when they do, it feels like your eyes are drifting and they're trying to pull themselves back. It may very well be that what some of the pain that you're experiencing is that you're getting this eye fatigue. So have you had an eye checkup?
I have. I actually underwent a lot of eye therapy, vision therapy, after my accident because I had nystagmus and problems focusing my eyes. And so that's much better and much resolved. But when I'm doing too much and pushing too hard, which life sometimes requires.
Wow, do I know that one, honey.
You know, they do get tired. And
yeah.
I thought even my ears, my tinnitus increases and the earache on the right side. But, yes, you're right. My eyes are tired.
Yeah, and what you might want to do is just kind of, you know, give yourself an eye break every so often. When they you had physical therapy with the eyes, was that part of it?
Yes, it was actually a vision therapist, so even more specialized eye exercises to help my eyes converge again and track.
Right.
And diminish the nystagmus.
Right. And what I would do is I don't feel like you've got a major problem. I'm just looking for little tiny things that could be contributing to what you're experiencing with everything that you're doing. Why are you still, you know, getting these things? And that's one of the things. So you might want to go back and some of that, eye therapy that you did, you might want to go back and just refresh your memory with that, and you might just want to go in and start some of that again. And again, it isn't a problem, but it just feels like it's going to take this tension off of the right eye, the right side of the head, the jaw that I'm picking up, and then on that cranial nerve, the vagus nerve in the occiput area, that feels like it's just getting kind of squished is what it feels like.
Okay.
I'm
so grateful. Thank you so much for looking in. I had a corollary question, and I think it's answered, but during this process of identifying injuries, they did tell me that I have a small brain aneurysm, and I was concerned that the pain in the occiput area was pressure from that. I haven't had that checked lately.
Yeah, that doesn't actually feel... I did not pick it up. I didn't
I
pick it up anywhere
feel it either.
With it.
Great.
Yeah. And, you know, Super. It's very interesting because I want to just maybe offer a different perception to take some of the anxiety off of that. I understand what they're looking for. I understand what it is. But when you hit your head, I would like you to think of that place in that blood vessel as just where a hematoma basically formed, where we got a little bit of a inflammation or a pooling of blood, and that's been repaired and it's been absorbed. And I would be mindful, but I wouldn't be concerned.
Great.
Yeah.
That's what I chose. I felt like it was gone.
Yep. Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, yes, you know, I see that where, when I go in and I look at it, I see where they can find where the injury was, and an injury can weaken, you know, a vessel or something like that, or it can even weaken a muscle. But boy, this is not tied to that at all, sweetie.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome news. Well, it just sounds like my head was spun, and like you said, that's what happened. And
yeah,
perhaps.
I mean, And you know, sweetie, I didn't even say that your head wasn't on right. It is. It just kind of get into that spinning.
Well, I have blonde moments. That's what I call them. I have blonde moments. But anyway, thank you so much for checking. So I will get back to my eye exercises, and good. I will do the visualization for T4, T5, and then if all of that, if it goes beyond that, I'll look into the ice pack and maybe on occasion a baby aspirin.
Yep. All of those things feel like that they would give you that kind of momentary reprieve that your body is looking for, so it will stop connecting the emotional pattern with what's going on in your life that triggers the memory and the muscles itself. That's really the way that we need to work with it, is it's almost like we need to continually address the things that are in the body, but we need to continually be distracting the brain so it doesn't go back to that old memory or that old pattern.
I like that. I like the shoulda, woulda, coulda, so I can catch myself in those thinking patterns or looking backward, because really this is the last frontier. This is the last thing left. So that's so helpful to
exactly.
look at that in a different way.
Well, good. Well, thank you
awesome.
Very much, and good to talk to you again. I appreciate you calling me.
You
have
well.
A great
thank
day,
you
sweetie.
So much. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What I want to do is please stay tuned. I'm going to actually take a very quick commercial break. I'm going to be back to talk more about aspirin and offering some alternative choices that you can use to get the same or similar benefits of taking the aspirin, and I am going to be taking your calls, so I look forward to talking to you. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining me today. Today I'm actually discussing the pros and cons of taking that low-dose baby aspirin and addressing the question, is it still the miracle pill that it was once considered? The answer keeps coming up from all the research that I found. Yes, it is. Now, yes, it is, unless you happen to be a small percentage of people who are actually aspirin resistant. And then what can happen is actually taking aspirin on a daily basis can double your risk of having a heart attack and stroke. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about how do you find out if you're aspirin resistant, because it's something that maybe most of us don't even think about. It's such a common thing that we will actually pull toward and look toward to be able to help us, or take to be able to help us with being able to manage the pain or reduce fever and so forth. And we do it with our children and we do it with ourselves. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how do you know if you're aspirin resistant. And then also I'm going to be offering some ideas of some different alternative suggestions and choices that you can actually use that have many of the same and similar benefits of actually taking that low dosage aspirin on a daily basis. So again, as I do always, the pros and cons, trying to provide a big picture of everything so you can be well informed. I do have time for a couple more calls, so if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's good for U.S. callers, international callers, and then, of course, Canadian callers. Just call 877-230-3062. I also wanted to remind you that on May 10th, just a couple of days from now, my Mother's Day promotion is actually going to be ending. And what I'm doing is I'm offering free shipping on the jewelry and then that I have online and then also on health and beauty products. So if you want to know more about the promotion itself, then what you do is you just go on my website and you go to products and you can click on jewelry. Or you can click on health and beauty, and then the promo code is MOMDAY13. And then you can just give your mom that special something, or you can even give yourself that special something with free shipping. I also wanted to let you know that I just posted for purchase on my website my four-part course on the light of the body. Each course actually looks at a different aspect of the light body. We also refer to this as the aura or the energy body. The class itself provides an in-depth look into who you really are at your purest form and how your light body is so rich with biological and biographical information. And really what the light body is, it's a hologram. It's a body double, only energetic in nature, and it reflects what is happening within the physical body and then also reflects what's happening around the psychological aspects of how you are dealing with life and coping with life. So it's really a highly developed, sophisticated, kind of what I call an electro-vibrational communication network, and it makes it possible for the mind, the body, and the soul to dialogue and to communicate with each other. But the most important thing I've found about understanding the light body is it's about really understanding it as a diagnostic tool, because the nice thing about the light body is that it provides instantaneous feedback on what's happening in the physical body, and it actually will reveal in its energetics where we have any kind of congestion, depletion, protrusions, and blockages. And then the nice thing also is that unlike the physical body that throws symptoms up anywhere, we call them referred symptoms, then what will happen is it's very difficult to be able to really find the origin site of the problem in the physical body. The light body immediately shows exactly where that disharmony is in that light body and how that disharmony is impacting the physical body. In addition, this light body, not only from really identifying origin site, primary, secondary symptom site, that light body will also reveal what is needed to restore the physical body back to good health. If you want to learn more about the course and even listen to a brief excerpt from each of the four classes, then you just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and you can click on the slide on the home page called The Light Body, the download. Each class is actually 90 minutes long, and each class, if you're interested in purchasing it, includes a detailed printable PDF workbook that you can use to follow along in the class and then capture your notes. If you want to purchase it, you just do it right online, add it to your cart, pay for it, and it's immediately downloadable to your computer. Now, the nice thing I've found about doing the classes this way in a webinar format, online format, is that once you purchase it, you can actually listen to it in its entirety, and it's 90 minutes in each one of the courses or in little bits and pieces. And you can listen day and night and at your convenience. And this works very well for a lot of the people who are interested in my work on a global basis. This is something that I was really excited to get up. It's really what I call my signature course. It's what I really taught when I first started bringing this awareness of the light body out into the public and being able to build off of that, which ultimately ended up in my 2-year and 4-year medical intuition classes that I teach. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be reinitiating those programs, and the light body is a prerequisite to being able to understand the connection between the mind, the body, the energy, and how to use this for a healing program. And I actually will be offering a certification program around it. So as a medical intuitive, one of the things that I shared in the first segment is that one of the things a research study showed is that using a low dosage of baby aspirin or aspirin, and when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about the 81 milligram dosage, that there's been a correlation on how it can really have a positive impact on heart attack in people who experience a lot of volatile emotions, i.e. especially anger. Now, as a medical intuitive, the metaphor for anger in my world is that anger is triggered when we're afraid. And whenever we're afraid, those insecurities, those other fears that are associated with that emotion of anger, it could be the fear around survival, the fear of abandonment, the fear of betrayal, the fear of rejection, the fear of speaking up, the fear of dying, any of the fears that we have and all of the other myriad of fears, is that when we experience anger, it is letting us know we do not have enough information, and we're entering into an old repetitive pattern of ours from an emotional reaction that triggers the emotion of anger. That anger changes the dynamics not only in the chemistry of the body, but also the blood platelets. It takes that liver and those adrenals, but the liver in specifically, and it sends the message to the liver, is this a life or death situation? It causes the blood platelets to thicken. So if in fact it is a accident that's going to happen or an injury that's going to happen, that thickening of the platelets actually will go in and it will prevent a person from bleeding to death. However, what happens in the anger is it floods the body with the adrenaline, the corticosteroid, and also cortisol, changes the coagulation of the blood. But what it does is it sends the messages, life is hard. And one of the things that I find in the metaphor that I, as a medical intuitive, look at the connection between aspirin therapy and looking at anger management is that aspirin therapy quells the inflammation that is triggered psychologically and physically when we experience anger. So anger makes life hard. It makes moving through life difficult. It can make life a struggle. All of those metaphors, hard, heart attack, hardening of arteries, difficult, blood moving from point A to point B, struggle, that tension is showed in the muscle, is held in the muscles itself, compresses the nerves, compresses the blood vessels that then can constrict the blood flow. And what the low dosage aspirin does is it actually thins the blood. It changes the dynamics of what the liver is doing as far as that platelet formation, and it keeps the blood thin. So even if life is difficult, then you still have blood flow. Even if life is a struggle, the relaxation, the inflammation response associated with that is then changed to where now we get the muscles relaxed, the pressure off of the vessels itself. So when we look at the psychological aspects and the connection between anger and specifically heart attack or difficult, which is also tied to stroke, or a struggle, which is tied to fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and any of the inflammation immune system responses, then baby aspirin can go a long way in being able to keep the quality of the blood and the ability of the blood vessels to move the blood from point A and to keep the quality of the blood thin. So as I looked at that one particular research study, and I really was curious as far as the psychological implications of that blood dynamics of the correlation between anger, heart attack, blood, and so forth, And then the medical intuitive part started coming in and connecting the dots. So what are some of the negative side effects of taking aspirin? I actually went in and I talked a little bit about it, but of course its usage. You have to be very, monitor yourself and be sure that you don't have ulcers, because if you do, then aspirin therapy is going to aggravate those, the stomach to a point where it can initiate the activity of ulcers. Also, it can create stomach distress, heartburn, stomach bleeding. That has to do with the ulcers. Tinnitus, gastritis, it can actually trigger asthma attacks in some people. It can create nausea, and it actually can, in some people, create hives and swelling, and primarily the swelling will show up in the form of facial swelling. Also, one of the things that happens is that in another study I found, and this is something that we really don't hear a lot about taking aspirin for a therapeutic, from a therapeutic standpoint for heart disease and stroke, but aspirin can actually increase the risk of developing cataracts and macular degeneration. And in very few cases, but in some cases, it can even cause blindness. A study printed in the prominent medical journal called Ophthalmology reports that long-term usage of aspirin can actually increase the risk of cataracts by a whopping 44%. The reason that the field of ophthalmology is looking at the impact of aspirin is because aspirin reduces the blood's ability to clot. So even when a small blood vessel in the eye breaks, that blood leaks out before the body has a chance to actually repair the damage. In the case of small retinal hemorrhages, what it can do is it can lead to macular degeneration. And that macular degeneration is something that we are beginning to see an increase in. Is it directly tied to aspirin therapy? Not necessarily, because there's so many other different aspects of the hemorrhages in the eye that we need to look at. But what we do know is that it's affecting over 10 million Americans now, and that it's one of the leading causes of blindness in people over 55 years of age. And one of the things that we have found, and I found in the research, is that in that aging process, again, the increase in that common suggestion from the doctor to take a low-dose aspirin therapy actually increases at the age of 50, 55, and older. So there may be a connection with that aspirin therapy and the macular degeneration. More research is being done to be sure that, again, the statistics hold up, the evidence holds up over the course of time. But right now it is beginning to show that there are some correlations between cataracts, macular degeneration, and even blindness in aspirin therapy. Another major risk of taking aspirin is that maybe possibly your aspirin resistance, which means that rather than aspirin actually helping to prevent heart disease and stroke, it can actually increase the risk of having a heart attack or stroke. So I delve into this and I thought, my gosh, I've heard of that, but what does that really mean? And so I was curious are there tests? How does the doctor know, or how do you know whether you're aspirin resistant? And the easiest thing is to ask your doctor to run a simple blood test called optical platelet aggregation. And what this test is it's covered by most insurance plans and can help in your decision as to whether to continue aspirin, start aspirin, continue aspirin, or to stop its usage. So it's a very common test. It's covered by insurance, and it can very clearly show whether you're aspirin resistant. One of the things that I have learned as a medical intuitive and understanding what happens in the body is that, again, whenever we're dealing with anything in the body, remember that the brain is going to fixate on it. When it fixates on it, then what it's going to do is it's going to try to solve the problem, and the best way to solve the problem is to be have the information that you need to make those really the decisions that are best for you. So that's the why I chose to do the pros and cons. Before I get into some of the different things that we can take from suggestions from alternative things, I want to jump on and let's take Janet from Austin, Texas. Hi, Janet.
It's Jeanette.
Oh, Jeanette, I know that, honey. I know you. What was going on? Okay, sorry about that. Hello, Jeanette.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
It has, honey. I miss those times where we get together and talk on webinars and stuff.
I know. It's still the same issue, the pelvic pain.
Right.
I feel like I'm about 80, 90% improved, except in one area. It's been 3.5 years. I'm still going to physical therapy every other week.
Okay.
We're doing great, but there's one area, and I feel defeated. I don't feel like it's going to heal. And I don't know what's going on down there.
Okay.
What is it going to take to get past that? Or
can I get
past it?
Yeah, when you said defeated, it was like, woo, I went in, and it's just like I started getting all these things lighting up in the field. And so I'm going to do kind of my medical approach first.
Okay.
Is that defeated energy isn't yours. That's not you.
Oh, who does it belong to?
Your mom.
Oh, gosh. Here we go again.
Do you have a sister, honey?
No, I don't.
Okay. Oh, we went that route, too, before, didn't we? Doggone, I keep picking up that other person. I did this
well,
time, too.
Well, you remember.
I did.
We talked about having a miscarriage or something, yes.
Yep. And that just came right back into the reading again with it. So, when I went in, it was your mom. There was guilt. I even picked up a little bit of energy of shame. I know that you experience guilt. You're human. But there's something that's there that just doesn't feel like you. Here's how it looks to me energetically. It looks to me like it's a little grain of sand. So things are getting better. It's not like that, you know, hard lump or anything. So it's getting better. But it kind of feels like if we had a kidney stone, it's a little grain of sand or calcium. And I'm using a metaphor, something that's hard to move beyond, that feels like it's still there and it's just locked into a place where it's like a kidney stone. If it gets down into the bladder, it isn't always easy to pass. We have to do things to be able to help it. So if you could, if that rings true to you, if you could go in and just see it as a little tiny grain of sand, not something that's huge, not something that's insurmountable as far as being able to work with, and you can just kind of visualize pushing it around, squeezing it, pushing it around, kind of like the bladder would do, try to get rid of a kidney stone or something, just get pushing it around, it's going to take the pressure off of that area, and then your brain is going to stop fixating on it. So that's the metaphoric, kind of the emotional part of it. Now, the other thing is when I go and actually touch the physical body, there's two, when I go to the front of the body, if I go to the pelvic area and go, let's see if I can do this. If you go up from the vaginal area, sweetie, 2 inches.
2 inches, okay.
You go to the right.
To the right.
And you go to where, you know, the body forms, where you have that kind of vaginal pocket that we have in front in that pelvic area, and then where the leg starts to come in, we have kind of like a crease there. If you go up 2 inches and you go to the right, just to where that pelvic area actually goes into that crease where the leg and the pelvic area comes together, and you were to do a little acupressure in that area, you'll loosen that tension.
Well, okay. For one thing, it's on the left.
I know, but what I'm picking up is on the right, and that's mother energy. That's why I was picking went this direction, sweetie.
But which is that mother
what
energy?
It does? Yeah,
the left and the right.
Exactly. So mother energy is the right body side of the body. Father energy is on the left side of the body.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I go into the right, and I just put a little bit of acupressure there, and I can actually, you don't have to press hard, but I can actually feel if you put pressure there, I can actually feel it form like a little laser that goes back to the back part of the muscle, the glute. It also seems to tie into that little mastoid muscle And when I press on that, I feel the relaxation on the left side.
Interesting. Everything you described is like what I feel on the left.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to take it off of the... I'm trying to take that psychological part, kind of like where I get that little grain of sand, and I'm just trying to move it around so it can drop out kind of through that vaginal area. It's like a... your soul is always funny with me, honey. It's like I'm supposed to say to you, honey, it's like playing pool. And what that is that you want to hit the ball on the right side to bounce to the left side to drop into the pocket, which is right in that vaginal area. We want to get it out. And what it does is it feels like in doing that, it's going to take the pressure, that psychological pressure that I picked up off of the right side. Because, I mean, you've done so much work in so many different ways, and it's not like it's a big thing and it's forever. It's just this one last little gritty thing that's there. And that is going to take the pressure off of the left side. Then you'll start to balance again in your pelvic girdle in that sacroiliac area. And then that tension will then kind of melt away through that pubic area, through the coccyx, and it'll take the pressure off of the muscles and the nerves. Kind of a strange way to do it, but it just came. I know. So, the natural thing is I can just hear your physical therapist. You're going to do what? But it will.
She's actually an acupuncturist. We've not done acupuncture. She does like the visceral manipulation and works down in there. She's very good.
She
is. But we haven't really worked on the right side.
Yeah. Well, that's logical, because if it's on the left side, you're going to work on the left side from the physical standpoint. But what we're doing is we're dealing with the emotional standpoint. And she really, what she's doing in the manipulation is she's really looking at it from a kind of a physical therapy. How do I get these muscles talking the way it needs to, the tension off the spine, the movement in the pelvic girdle and everything? Yeah.
The sacral with the head, what do you call it?
The craniosacral?
Craniosacral. She does some of that, yeah.
Good.
All the neck and everything.
Yeah.
So in other words, to get past this hurdle, I kind of need to work more on the emotional part.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
On the right.
Yeah, let's change that. You don't have to work. You have done so much work. All you need to do is just find that last little nitty-gritty and just let it go. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Let that, if there's any shame that's there, you could just say, hey, Mom, here, this kind of belongs to you. It's not done in ill feelings. Hey, Mom, this belongs to you. Now, let's just, I want it out. And just work at that. See it just moving around and dropping away.
Everything go back to Mom, I'm telling you.
Well, because she gifted you with a lot of her insecurities so she could help protect you. And it was really done in great love, but in the process she had a lot of her own things that were hard and difficult and that she struggled with, and your desire to be able to help her in her own work, sometimes we take that on.
Okay.
Yeah. So try that, and then, pop me an email and let me know what comes out of it, because I never know where this stuff's going to go when I start connecting with someone.
I usually do,
Yeah, you do.
It's just another whole take on it. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is, and one that I never picked up before until it got down to this last little part. Thanks for calling me, sweetie.
Thank you.
It was fun to talk
so much.
You are welcome.
Uh-huh.
So what can
Bye-bye.
You do? Bye-bye, sweet. What can you do to actually use for alternative suggestions to get those similar benefits as aspirin? The first thing is really focus on anti-inflammatory foods. So how do you know which foods are anti-inflammatory foods? By their color. Light green and green foods such as artichokes, celery, chives. We get into the spices, chives, dill, parsley, thyme. We get back into the vegetables, broccoli, cabbage, collard, kale, garlic, onions, and even sea vegetables if you don't have a problem with it. Fruits include apples, figs, kiwi, pears, and limes, and then, of course, drink green tea. Now, another color group is yellow and light yellow foods such as root vegetables and squashes. Again, you have to be sensitive as to whether you're nightshade sensitive. Fruits include apricots, lemons, pineapple, papaya, peach, and mangosteen. red to light red fruits and vegetables. And this is something they can, and some people have a little more inflammation, a little more of a negative response. So again, you're going to have to know your body. Is beets and radishes, fruits such as pomegranate, plums, prunes, and berries. For headaches, try massage, acupuncture, ice packs, biofeedback, and relaxation therapy. And for pain, try peppermint oil. Take ginkgo for better blood flow, and magnesium to open constricted blood vessels. And the one last thing is, find ways when anger comes to the surface to find a constructive way to be able to allow yourself to express it without feeling bad about it. Thank you so much for joining me today. I love sharing this information. Keep those suggestions coming, and you can listen to this show again in my archives. Light and love, and I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.